Yeah. This is just an impromptu hang out and talk about.
Do you need a mic?
All right. Okay. So, Fiendish, how's your bliss been?
It's been absolutely amazing. I've had an amazing time over the last 3 days. It has, like last year, I thought the bliss couldn't get any better. Like it's such an amazing spirit, so many wonderful people, and this year was just leveled that up. So absolutely so glad to have been here, and thank you so much, Jeremy, for being a great host.
No, thank you to all for attending. You know, it's not a conference without everyone involved. Has there been anything that you've specifically noticed in the discussion? Like I asked the technical panel before, you know, what had people been finding was top of mind, and you know, in the conversation.
Yeah, do you know one of the interesting things, and I like this year or where BCH is right now is incredibly aligned with the destination. So there's lots of different discussions about different things. You know, the fact that we can talk about proof of stake, you know, against proof of work without like up in arms, like something that's really fundamental change in the protocol, which is a fantastic place to be. And one of the things that I think is like really interesting was one of the panels today was just, or the discussions, just thinking about, you know, putting in data into the UTXO set. And I think this is one of, for me, the most interesting points, because I think if we could go back in time to 2013 and 14, where it was just accepted that Bitcoin was electronic cash, P2P cash, it was accepted that no one really like drummed that beat, and then the narrative changed. So if you had to go back and drum, you know, beat that drum, we'd be in such a better place right now. And I think it's important for us that all to like remind ourselves that everything we've seen and all the building is like super, and that's needed. And we need more users, and that's fantastic. But absolutely everything we do, especially to the protocol, should be aiding that goal of being P2P cash for the world. And I think that's a very exciting thing to keep in mind, that's what we're all doing here. You know, even if there are builders in Bitcoin Cash, which I'm sure there'll be many more of them who are more interested in the building rather than the money side. So
yeah. Ryan, what about you? How have you found Blizz?
Yeah, there's a number of explosive ideas. And there's also what I was most blown away with or excited to talk was about the stablecoin feature. And from I think anyone watching online or anyone here, if you're operating a business and you are trying to grow at a rapid rate, you obviously need to get additional funding, you know, whether that's raising money from investors, but also borrowing money. And I was really blown away that, you know, how quickly you could create a contract against your BCH collateral. And I think it's an explosive idea. And I'm going to go about this as soon as I get back home. I'm closing another company. And just what has taken me to acquire a loan has been about like a month process. And the idea that you could create a loan at probably a more competitive interest rate, again, you can set that by the market, and you can still get exposure to the upside of BCH. And if this can kind of just become a self-fulfilling thing, getting people into BCH, put it on my balance sheet, borrow against it at a reasonable rate, right? Because your liquidation event would be lower the higher interest you get. And essentially, the more people that do this, it becomes a popular product. And if you're a business, that's why I want to document and tell my story. And hopefully, if BCH goes up, it just satisfies the loan. And I think it's mind blowing to any, you know, executives out there, you know, any financial teams. I'm excited to go back and tell my controller about it. And it was something I was watching from the outside, but got to speak with the team. Haver was incredibly kind. We're gonna hop on some calls afterwards, and I'm gonna start small, but go, you know, hopefully move quickly. I'm totally blown away with the concept of it. I think it's explosive.
Yeah, that kind of leads into my next point, which is that obviously we have Blizz, we have this kind of event so that people can come together, people can meet each other. One block, all right. Prepare the champagne. I don't know if we have any of that.
There's no champagne.
Alan,
I'm trusting you.
Free event. But anyway, you know, like we have these events so that people can coordinate. And like I said on the technical panel, you know, I feel like you know, BCH is almost analogous to a company in that way. Obviously, it's decentralized, yes, but or as a brain or an ecosystem, we kind of have to fill all the functions of delivering a product, just like a company does, right? And so what can we do to improve the communication beyond events like this between the sort of product-minded people and the devs? You know, that's a perpetual problem that you can always reach to do better.
Yeah, and I'm a salesperson by trade. You got to tell a story. And that's why I'm excited to get into the product. And I think if I could just document my success by using the product, let's say the concept of you literally borrow against your collateral within minutes. And as long as, you know, the market doesn't collapse, and if it's likely to go up, you know, given what we know about inflation, I think just documenting your story, and I think it's important to tell the story and share the story. And this should be real conversations for not only small businesses like mine, but, you know, I can only imagine, you know, larger corporate companies. You know, there's not, you know, I know people are commonly taking loans against their crypto, and they're willing to pay high interest rates because of the taxable event to sell it. So there's a huge market for that. And I think we should go after those people that don't want to pay capital gains tax. And this is another way to get access to their liquidity that may have a lot of crypto. I think it's a massive, massive opportunity. And Sayoshi was speaking about his lending products as well. That's my biggest takeaway, that, you know, what DeFi's created in the short 2 years, and I've been kind of watching, and these were just ideas last year that we could possibly do this.
Yeah.
And in one more block, I know Mariah will be live, and looking forward to learning more about Parity USD. And I think it's huge. Huge.
Yeah, would be cool if you know, we could have somebody in the audience get that first contract through on Mario. Yeah. So anybody can set themselves up to, you know, refresh the page and be the first one historically, like we had the Emerald DAO tokens with the cash tokens upgrade. Phoenix, chime in to me. Thinking about that 2 years ago, we're doing the cash tokens and the Emerald DAO. You know, that was like monumentous. At the time, we didn't have Bliss, we didn't have a conference, we were just on a call. Like, tell me about how far we've come in that time. Do you know what does that memory bring up to you?
Yeah, sure. I mean, yeah, since the implementation of cash tokens, I mean, it's crazy. If you think like 1 year ago, just think of that. 1 year ago, we didn't have a stablecoin.
Wow.
If you think about that, we didn't have a stablecoin 1 year ago. And we're going to have one, like the version we've already had, like the test project, which was used probably slightly more than it should have been, despite all the warnings. And now the Moria guys, they've just put the pedal to the metal and got version one ready for Bliss and for exactly when the next upgrade comes out. We've also got Parity USD. We've got lots of different things going on in the ecosystem. We've got the Cauldron DEX as well, you know, and that was really great to see, and the things that's happening because of that, and because of that explosion of the DEX. Then we've had the wallet integrations, you know, Wallet Connect, Paytaka, Zapit, and now Celine, of course, which has just made that whole experience like a dream, right? A bliss. I don't know how many people out there have tried Smart BCH. Like, I remember I stuck $10 on it, and it was really hard work for me. It was very complicated. And when I compare that to the ecosystem we've got running on cash tokens, I think it's so much better. And that was actually one of the advantages that I heard about EVM, was that, it's really, you know, there's already this ecosystem. It's, you know, everyone knows how to use it, and it's simple. But I think what we've got today is so much more intuitive, it's much faster and nicer. So I think we're on a fantastic path, and I'm really excited to see where that goes.
Do you remember hop.cash?
Yes. Yeah.
So don't bring it up. You're traumatized. The general protocol guy.
Hop.cash.
Jonathan's like covering his ears, you know, in horror.
A lot of money was lost in that. So let's move past it. But yeah. No, it's really amazing where the community has got to over the past couple of years. And we're definitely seeing a growth there in the builders, you know, what's going on. And it's going to be great. You know, what I'm really excited about is because we can see it. We can see this energy. We can see the stuff that's being built, the stuff that's actually out there and can be used today. And the next step is then seeing that usage you know, and growing and showing that to counter those the price graph.
Yeah, and thank you for everyone who's been airdropping tokens. I got some
dragons. Yeah, we're gonna be Doges. Yeah. doing a little bit more of that coming up. I think we're gonna do an airdrop whenever the next block hits, presumably. And there is gonna a tool up the back for anybody that wants to airdrop tokens or BCH, maybe some of that new Moria, a couple cents of that. I wouldn't mind. Wouldn't mind some of that. Up the back there, so anybody who wants to all the Velma and the Jessica holders, you know. For now, it's you know, it's funny because Jonathan had that up the back, and people were playing around with it a little bit, and of course, people immediately started saying, "Oh, I want this to be more customized. Like, why can't I airdrop just Velmas, just Jessicas in a different ratio?" You know, it's like you know, motion creates emotion, right? As soon as we have MVP products that we can show off, suddenly the inspiration starts, right? Like a blank piece of page is, you know, a blank page is sometimes the worst place to find inspiration. Once you have something, people can easily see how to make it better.
Yeah.
And I'm seeing a ton of that in the little demos that people are doing and the conversations that are having. You can't build something from nothing, you know. It's amazing to see.
It's been really cool. How close are we?
Well, we don't know. It's going to the next block. Could be 1 minute. Could be 1 hour. I don't know. how long do you want to go for, you know?
But you know, thinking about the
question. 1 minute block times.
Yeah. Well, that would improve things.
Yeah, but thinking about the question, Jeremy, about like, you know, what can we do to make improvements? So what I really think is... we just need to continuously move to break down the barriers between development and actually users. So there's a lot of active communities. Of course, yourself is one. You've got Jomar's very active as well with Petaka. So that, you know, there was some commas missing to show the thousand separator, which made the reading, you know, when you're sending a million tokens, it's very, you know, how many zeros have I got here? And the Paytaka team are very responsive to make these UX improvements, which are each individual one are very small, but it adds up massively over time. So I would really, you know, invite everyone to make sure that you're openly, if you're building, make sure your users are able to...
We got it. That's it. Somebody confirm, Callan? Where's he at? You know, let's get the thumbs up that it's all good, but that might be it. Congratulations, Bitcoin Cash community. Another successful upgrade in the books, right?
What? Moria version 1 is live.
Yeah. Who's going to airdrop me some tokens? Definitely next year we got to have like some champagne and like the race drivers or whatever, yeah. You know?
So I guess, Jeremy, you may be the best person up here to ask, but what do you think is possible in the next year? I know you said it looks like privacy is really probably 2 years out with this upgrade, needing something further. What do you think is most capable?
Well, that's
in terms of product improvement.
Yeah, I mean, like you said, the privacy stuff is going to be huge. And I had Sal was talking to me before, and he was, you know, saying on the panel about how important that privacy stuff is. And I think the theoretical possibility that BCH could replicate, you know, Monero, Zcash, Xano, every other crypto which is doing privacy tech, and we could have all of them. We could just have tokens for each one, and you can jump back and forward privately among all the different privacy coins replicated on BCH. Like, I just can imagine having that functionality in Celine. That blows anyone else out of the water, and there's zero possibility of an inflation bug in the underlying monetary system. So, I mean, Jason Dreisner, you know, is talking about that. And like I said before, you know, we already have the tooling shipped ahead of time, like with Moria we're seeing today. So it's actually, I feel like maybe, you know, if we prioritize it, then maybe in 12 months we could be sitting here with somebody making that first, you know, ultra private transaction or whatever on the BCH blockchain. Not even on testnet. We could have it, you know, we could chip it out, you know, over the next 6 months, get something going, and then live at Bliss next year we could potentially have that. So given that that's become such a big trending topic in crypto, I think that'd be huge. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Well, we're looking to add that in as well on Selene. You know, it's it really needs to be.
So everything on Stack currently is fused.
Well, it can be. You can just use it's just cache fusion, just like on Electron Cache, but you can use it on your mobile.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know about that till today.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. A lot of this stuff's all built. All right. Well, I think we need to do our raffle. People have been waiting. I don't know if Barbara and Petya can come up. They're going to do the drawing of the raffle tickets for us. Here we go. Winning numbers, and we'll go through it. If you win, you're just going to need to stick your hand up, and maybe I don't know if somebody wants to ferry the prizes out to them. Here we go, ladies. Hello. Okay. So here we go. Come on. Stand over here. Okay, all right, this is very impartial drawing. I definitely can't win anything, so there's that. Yeah, yeah. No, just it's up to you. You got to draw the numbers out of the hat, Selene hat, you know? We need a merch store. All right, the first number for this BCH Bull magazine is 96. Okay.
96.
All right, and another one. Same thing. We've got 102. 102, congratulations. Hey. There we go. All right. We have some... Oh, well, I guess as long as people know, they can come grab the stuff. If they want to appear on camera, come up and receive your prize. Here we go. Mine, of course. Yeah. There we go. That's it. Thank you. Okay. We have the Bliss Velma CDs. We've got three of those. So maybe just grab three numbers there. And we have 13, 23, and 22. Congratulations. If not, you can always grab them later.
Caleb.
Oh, here we go.
Here we go.
Killian, all right. Yeah, yeah, proof of raffle ticket.
Hang on, all right,
well, you got 13.
Is he out here? Do we kick him out?
Okay, we have three packs of the Velma cards, the Velma playing cards. Okay, number 111. Here, Alex bought himself nine extra tickets last night, so he's got pretty good odds.
Brilliant.
And we have, okay, number 130 and 37.
Hey.
There we go. Mate, we're not handing out prizes to nano advocates. There you go, pack of Velma cards. That's it. Hey, there we go. Legend. All right. Okay. Oh, it's for Robert. Okay. All right. Okay. All right. There we go. We've got a bunch of cash stamps here, which are €2 each, but I think we're going to give out four per winning number. So you've made back much more than your money. First one up is number 61. 61, okay. You're a bit richer. And number 157. All right, okay, you can come find us later. Number 207. There we go. All right. Yep, grab another one. We've got number 10. Here we go. Congratulations. Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. Cashed. There you go. Congratulations.
Thank you.
And number 127. Nope. Oh, here we go. Our tech crew. cashing in. Okay, good stuff. There we go. Okay, that's it. That's it. Okay, we have a poker set here. Number 214. Oh, here we go.
Yeah. What a win. Okay.
the gambler himself. Congratulations. Yes. And we also have a custom episode of the BCH podcast. You can talk to me and we'll figure out, you know, what kind of guest or topic you want to do, if you want to be on it, or suggest someone else, someone famous that you want me to try and talk into appearing on the show, whatever. Let's do it. So drum roll. Number 40. Oh, there we go, Gareth.
Gareth.
Congratulations, yeah. Mate.
Oh.
Excellent. Well done. Yeah, here. I mean, you could join us on stage right now if you want, as bonus, you know? Yeah. If you want to. You want to get mic'd up and join us. All right. And then we also have, finally, our $500 cash stamp sponsored by Steve Thurmond.
Oh, on the table.
Yeah, yeah. I just watch out for all this stuff. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, drum roll here, £500. Oh, 500 euros, I think, dollars. Okay, number 187. Congratulations. There we go. Seems like somebody made a bunch of cash and didn't know it. Okay, so they can check out number 187. Go talk to Steve Thurmond, and you're having a pretty good day today, I would say. All right, thank you, ladies. Thank you. A round of applause, Barbara and Petra. Amazing. All right, well, Gareth, let's start with you. How have you found Bliss?
Awesome.
Yeah?
In one word. Mm-hmm. Yeah, community. Getting to talk to lots of people who, for whom I have so much respect for all the work that's been done, like the fundamental layer stuff. Just talking to people that foam, I have so much respect, without whom we just wouldn't have this that just happened, and everything that's happened before has given us what I never realized. I had no idea what needed to be done. After the block size war, I was under the impression if the block size were bigger, then where we go.
Yeah.
But we weren't, and lots of people, not lots of people, but some key people knew that, understood that, got to work. And even then, with having to fall out and fork. And I was dispirited. I thought at one time, are we ever going to learn to stop fighting? Yeah. and get together and build what needs to be built? And then on top of that, then get what needs to be done to get it out there, to get people using it. And here, sure, the numbers, the like transaction numbers, are just, they're not there yet. But everything else is, and I'm so, so encouraged, and it's just awesome. It really is special.
Yeah, a round of applause for that. Amazing.
If I could add to that. And the key word,
mic yet. Up.
Yeah, that reminds me of Elon Musk said in... you know, technology just doesn't get better just because we increase the block size. You know, if you were living in the 60s, when we went to the moon, you would have thought now we'd be, you know, living amongst the stars, a space-bearing civilization, but there weren't the people there or the right market incentives to go out. It's people doing a lot of hard work. You know, everything that goes in these events, all the talent in the room working extremely hard, that's going to move the ball forward. The technology itself just doesn't do it. The technology is there for us, but it takes the people behind it. And the fact that from space travel, we didn't do anything. We haven't been back to the moon in 40 years. And if you ask someone at that time, that's another conversation. Let's say we did.
That's a different podcast.
We could debate that. But yeah, I think that's a good point. Yeah, just when the blocks are bigger, people will come, but it takes a lot more hard work for sure.
Yeah, I mean, I certainly feel like even for many years, that was a common thing. You know, people felt like we increased the block size. Okay, we lost the brand, but where's the traction? Like, maybe there was just a sense of like people should be flooding in. You know, it's the obvious thing. We're the obvious choice. But the truth is that we're not, you know, by the time there was the split, people already had moved on to Ethereum, and there was all, you know, the rest of the coin market cap, and that competitive field has only been growing and growing and growing, right? So we're kind of, you know, racing against a rising bar in that sense. And I personally, you know, get the feeling, like I said, that cash tokens coming shortly after the CoinFlex meltdown was the, you know, that things had started to turn around, and now I feel very, very confident that we're at the front of the industry on the protocol layer, and we just need to bring that level of innovation and focus and dedication to everything else, really. So if you had, you know, one thing that you would want to see by Bliss next year, Fiendish, do you have any, you know, what's on your wish list?
Yeah, I want to see more failures, like what Carl demonstrated there. Like, you know, I think it's pretty obvious to everyone to hear, like, the reason why he failed is because he's trying, right? And that's exactly that. And then he's figuring out things, breaking things, and progressing. So I want to see more failures. I want to see a lot more people trying, failing, learning, iterating, and then improving upon that. And to what end? And this is where one of the questions that I wanted to ask you, but I thought, hey, do you know, maybe I'll take on to side channels, is to ask, like, what are you doing to actually run a profitable business? Because what I want to see is more of these ideas and these tinkerings and figuring out stuff. Like, and then how do I build my business model around this? Like, how do I actually start taking these diamonds and being able to fund my life, my development in the thing that I love and helping Bitcoin Cash through a solid business model? So I'd like to see more of that. So fail, learn, make money, and let's make Bitcoin Cash money for the world.
Ryan, what's on your wish list?
Yeah, adding to what Elliot said, you know, BCH is a very voluntary protocol from the, you know, even how, you know, developers make money. You know, when ABC split, they just wanted some inflation to make sure they got paid. ETH has a foundation that gets politically handed out. You know, we have to prove our work and build profitable businesses. And that's the whole ethos behind Bliss. And this event is showing off the technology, showing off the businesses, showing off, you know, how we can do that. And, you know, already coming back this year and seeing products that I'm excited to use, I can't wait until next year to see what else comes from it. And just giving the platform, building it, that's, you know, we need the investment back in, and we need the businesses to grow. And, you know, that'll create the coin to go up in value, because it's harder to, again, we don't have those funding mechanisms. So we need investors to become wealthier within the ecosystem to be able to reinvest back in, and the businesses generate profit themselves. That's the whole ethos behind it. You know, everyone that's put up money to any of these fundme.cash campaigns or any businesses in here, you guys deserve to see a return on your capital through either the businesses you hold equity in or the price appreciation of the coin. And that's what I want for everyone in this room. And that's what I hope to see next year.
Amazing. Gareth, what do you think next year? What do you want to see? What do you want to see being presented or announced or launching or running in the ecosystem?
Okay, well, one of the things I mentioned in passing earlier was the bit wage idea. I'd love to see a BCH only bit wage. That's going to take someone who's prepared to take on the regulatory blah blah. So that's a big, but actually, yeah. One of the things that moved me most in as a use case that's needed right now, and I've forgotten Saqib's brother's name already, but that I'd love to see someone saying, yes, we managed to get BCH into the refugee camps being used, making a real difference to people whose lives, the difference would be made immediately to the quality. Some people are suffering because they don't have it. I'll mention you the bobs you had there, and you're saying there's 8 million bobs. There isn't 8 million bobs. There are some people who are in a much, much, much worse position than Bob who could use this right now. And that's what I don't know how. I don't know who. It's a someone that needs to pick up the reins to help these things happen, and it's not going to be a business use case. But I still would love to see it happen.
Hopefully it can be. You know, hopefully there is a way to, you know, connecting people is always valuable, right?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But that's one of the things that struck me, and therefore one of the things that I'd love in a year's time to see. Yes, it's making a difference to their lives right now.
Well, I just want to. That's what it's all about. It's helping people's lives. And just so you know, like there is some bodies actually that are making that happen. So that isn't just something that was discussed. There is stuff, you know,
it's already rolling 24 hours later, you know, we're
going to make people's lives better.
What you were mentioning last night, you said you felt like you got into Bitcoin over 20 years ago when you met the gentleman in Sudan. and you know the economic trouble he had living in an inflationary economy. And then when you saw, you know, you're talking about how you saw private keys could speak to each other, just couldn't figure out the double spend problem. Then Bitcoin arrived, and you're like, oh my God, this can help this guy in Sudan. And then you shared why you were so touched by that story. I thought that was really really cool, and the ethos behind Bitcoin.
Yeah, it's been there since before.
Yeah.
Bitcoin, and when I discovered it, I have fun with lots of aspects of it, get excited by lots of, but at some level, it's those use cases that just that drive me.
Awesome. Yeah, awesome. And I think that's what's helped BCH, you know, survive everything that it has and now starting to thrive. I mean, you said yesterday, you know, people buy why you're doing what you're doing, not how you're doing and not, you know, what you're doing. And I think we're increasingly seeing that because the Bitcoin Cash community is, despite all of its many trials and tribulations, it is laser focused on that goal of still shipping to 8 billion people. You know, we've not been able to be distracted with any kind of side quests or, you know, different narratives. Everyone just goes back to, looks at the white paper, it says here, casual transactions, which are cheap and effective for everyone, right?
It's that simple. It's hard to beat some of the strong why. There's a good story of the Wright brothers who first took flight. They just ran a little bicycle shop, and they were reinvesting any money in to try to create a flying device. Meanwhile, simultaneously, the government was funding people to do this. And I can't remember the guy's name, but the day that Wright brothers took flight, rather than that gentleman trying to improve upon it or build upon it, he just quit.
Yeah.
And the little underdogs in their bicycle shop that created it, you know, created the air market we have today, and because they had a stronger why, and that's, you know, I think the ethos that, you know, you're talking about the story of the 300, BCH has a very strong why, and we should carry that on to our businesses as well.
Yep. I mean, and I think to the extent we can, we really want to also maybe emphasize that in our messaging. You know, that's something I've heard from talking to people who are here for the first time, is I've had actually several people say to me, oh, you know, I didn't know as much about BCH, or I thought, you know, maybe it would be like about finances or something, but then those humanitarian elements really, you know, stood out to them and made some reconsideration of like, wow, you know, this is not just guys trying to get rich or whatever, you know, and that can get lost in the broader industry that we're in. So it's hard to break through that noise, but it's only by consistently focusing on it that we will be able to make that impact, I think. Yeah. Okay, all right. Well, we might just kind of wrap it up here in a minute and go for a little bit of a break. We do have a plan to have some remote call-ins, hopefully including Emergent Reasons, Roger Veer, David Shattuck, and Jason Dreisner, but I don't want to make any promises because they're not on the line right now. But if we have a bit of a break, give everyone a chance to mingle, since, you know, the upgrade's in and it's kind of job done on that front. And then maybe just, you know, at 4 o'clock, we'll be starting up maybe just some call-ins from
yeah,
them.
Yeah, we have Jason at 4:20, Roger at 4:30. Emergent at 4:40, then David at 4:50. So maybe 4:15, everyone come back, and they want to come say hi to the community and give their feedback on the conference.
Yeah, so we'll do that kind of casually, but just, you know, on behalf of myself and I think probably Ryan and Jonathan definitely as well too. Thank you all for coming to Bliss, another successful upgrade. We've grown the size of the Bliss attendee list by, you know, and a solid 10%, and I'm sure it's going to compound year on year. Of course, Jonathan has said he's committed to already 5 events. You know, we'll see whether it's the third year. get him on record with that. So, you know, I think we will be back next year. The specifics kind of remain to be seen, but that's definitely looking good. So a big thank you all to everybody for coming, and thank you to everybody who's tuned in on the live stream. Of course, we recorded everything, so if you missed anything or you want to go and review anything, that will be available there, and we will also make, you know, edited versions, maybe with some audio corrections and so forth. I also wanted, everyone to put their hand together for Jonathan, who sits up the back and he's quite quiet, but this wouldn't happen without him. Yeah, the amount of work that he puts into this kind of thing is absolutely unreal. And I just got to give one final shout out to the sponsors, Mike Komoransky, the Bitcoin Cash Podcast, Commercial Kitchen Stop, Ravish Off Ocean, BCH Bull, Mini Satoshi, Molecular, Turek, Steve Thurmond, and Bliss 2024. So yeah, we might have some call-ins coming up soon, but in the meantime, feel free to hang out. And as far as I'm concerned, that's kind of a wrap for Bliss 2025. Thank you for being here.